There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my.
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Monday. You can hear the laugh of my friend John Young, or as we call him here, Mr. Mobile. Of course, we'll check out the show tonight in Mobile with Mr. Mobile. But before we go any further, I do want to say there's a lot more text I can read right now before we start this hour, because people saying this is why I stay off the water. Nick had said, I refuse to take the boat out on holiday weekends and big fishing tournament weekends. Rather stay in the pool, be safe. And I hear where y'all are on this, but we've got to do something as a community too to say, now there's always going to be, what is the old, you can't fix stupid. There's always some stupid, but there are people who are, there's a difference. John and I are raised the same way. The difference between ignorance and stupidity. Now there's stupidity, you can't fix stupid. You can fix ignorance, right. You know, and if somebody is ignorant, we need to, as a community, say, before you start running the boats and before you put the 15-year-old in the boat, you know, which I like. I mean, I'm a boating guy. John, I mean, boats coming out my ears, maybe. I admit to a couple of them. You just got to know what you're doing. And I don't know the situation in every one of these cases, but I do know what I see on the water. There's a bunch of people running boats that don't know what the heck they're doing.
Right. And the boats now are so powerful and fast. There should be a mandatory lesson when you get your boating license or buy a boat.
Just yeah, like they don't have brakes, y'all.
Right, you, right, right.
So if you're going, and this person's going, and you're at this speed, how long before you have to make a decision, because there's no brakes to stop it, before there'd be, I mean, that'd be day one class,
right.
If I'm in there.
It should be. There should be mandatory classes for it, because a boat is worse than a car, because, like you just said, you can't stop.
No.
You can try to reverse throttle and, you know, yeah. Tie Lizzo onto a rope and throw over, try to slow it down. But it's a boat. But it is equally dangerous as a car. It's tragic.
Yeah, it is. And we have these stories come out. So let's do what we can. We'll talk about this going forward. Right now, we continue a discussion that you and I have been having since we met.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the youths, the kids here in Mobile, and you're on Fox 10. People watch this story over there. Talking about the number, we'll start with the discussion, the number of children that are in Metro Jail.
30 under the age of 19 or younger. 35 for murder. That's an...
Y'all just let that sink in for a second.
Right.
Because sometimes people get too used to something and numbers go right through their head. Under 19, kids, y'all, 30 of them in there, 5 for murder.
And then there are others in for assault, first-degree robbery, burglary, violent crimes that they've committed and been identified as.
They're not in there for mud riding on, you know, old man Young's farm.
Right. Not minor in possession.
They're in there for assault. They're in there for murder. They're in there for
violent crimes.
Right now, 30.
Mm-hmm.
If I needed an indicator, an index of something going wrong, there it is.
Well... And our summer campaign is your children are your responsibility. We're trying to stimulate more parental control and involvement. We've tried outsourcing. There are programs all over the place. There's all sorts of aid. But when home is jacked up,
and I had
an epiphany earlier after you sent me a message asking me to come on. It went wrong because all the cool kids in our school started having children. Before they got married. You know, all the guys, the really, you know, they were all dumb as rocks, but they were the cool kids, and they just started recreating And so they didn't care about an education. They just showed up for lunch anyway and to fight or whatever. So they began having children at a very young age, who then began having children at a young age. And education wasn't, family education weren't even in their vocabulary. So now we fast forward through our third generation of lack of awareness, lack of education being taught in the home, and it is now normalized. And the most dangerous thing you can have in a society is an immature, ignorant person, because they can only operate on emotion.
And they out-reproduced us, those of us that were told, you know, if you're going to have a kid, you better know how you're going to take care of that kid.
Right. There were consequences.
You're going to have a kid, son. We were slower in the reproduction index.
Right.
I mean, like,
exactly.
Those of us who were told, like, you're going to do that, son.
A shotgun wedding. You know, yeah. That used to be, if you did it, you're going to do the right thing.
Correct.
But now there's no caution to that anymore. Teenage boys now are criticized for not having children. They're criticized.
Yeah, think about that.
Right. Little girls are expected to have children by the age of 15 or 16 because their mother and grandmother and great-grandmother have. We've normalized this to the point that is dangerous.
It is. And because we'll all hear this and go, well, of course, the children are the parents' responsibility. They're molding these little pieces of clay, and they're doing all this, and they're putting the yellow and white lines up for them to stay between and all that. We all assume this, and now we've got to open our eyes and say there's a bunch of people that don't have that. Well, the parents, for some reason, have chosen to abdicate that responsibility.
Because they grew up in an environment where it wasn't that important. And I saw it on Facebook. I'm so relieved that Jordan did another story because, you know, we're doing the haircuts. And talk about this too. Right. So Men United Against Violence is sponsoring haircuts from now until the end of August for boys. You know, we always start with boys. But the haircuts we're paying for are traditional haircuts, high and tights, fades. We're not doing mullets, mohawks,
right.
Plaits, braids, uncombed hair. We are doing traditional haircuts.
So you look sharp to go back to school.
I posted it on our Facebook page. Mm-hmm. I think I sent it to Leanne. I sent it to Channel 15. When you go see Trey Pugh at Southern Style Studio, he's going to show you the pictures of your choices. And Trey Pugh is a white guy. We went there this past weekend.
Really?
Right. God. But he can cut. Right. But he can cut. He's a barber.
Yes.
So he said hair is just texture.
Correct.
He said, and so, yeah, you can take whoever you want in there, and we will pay for haircuts at $30 nowadays. Last time I had a haircut, they were $8. But we're on the hook for it. But we want these young men to feel like men. You know, last year we bought kids clothes. You remember we bought them clothes and shirt, underwear, socks, and shoes. Because when you look better, you feel better, you act better.
Mm-hmm.
But beware, be warned that the haircuts that we are paying for are those that Trey will show you a picture of. Anything else is on you. But And we're doing this hopefully for poor kids that can't. There's
Correct.
Always someone that wants to take advantage of something free, and I'll let God sort that out. But we are focusing on planting seeds in these young folks that they may not get at home. We all have a responsibility. We all have to say something at this point. I wish I had. I looked and looked, but I could not find the Jordan's Facebook post because I wanted to read some of the responses. And
I didn't see this. So
right. I am
negative.
Shocked. There are people saying that, oh, it's not the parents' fault. They can raise their kids. And
They haven't.
You know, and it blew my mind that we're advocating for parents to take control of their home, and there are people defending parents not controlling their home. This is the same stupid mindset I have to deal with. That confused look on your face. You're trying to make it make
sense. I wish we had video, y'all.
Right. You're trying to make it make sense. When we say men marry before you have a child, and then single unwed mothers defend it by saying, I'm the mama and the daddy. No, you're the problem. What we know historically and statistically what works.
Mm-hmm.
So being involved in your children, and listen, I know there are women out here that were done wrong and abandoned. I know there's some sorry dudes out there, but that's what you signed up for when you got pregnant. There's a possibility that you got pregnant by a guy you're not married to, that he wouldn't be around.
Yep.
So it's tough, but you have to do it now. That's your obligation. You might have to go work two jobs. You might have to take your boy with you on your night job, mm-hmm. let him sleep in the office, but that's what you signed up for. And you're not the first person to do it. You just have to decide to do it. You can't be lazy about it. I'm sorry to the kids that were raised in that environment, but you can break the cycle. Our message is one of hope, of desire and planting seeds, not of one of victim. My shirts are being made, and I got one for you. It's called Victim Street.
Somebody texted me about your, he said, yeah. John's got this term, Victim Street.
Victim Street, that's a noun that says that when it has become financially profitable to remain a victim of something else beyond your control. So I'm having shirts printed. You'll get one of the first. You'll get one of the first. But we've made victims of these children by making excuses. It's not your fault, single mom. You're black. Oh, the school system. When is it our responsibility to raise our own children? Football coaches can't do it. Church leaders, they can only supplement what you're
exactly.
doing at home.
And those people you named and leaders out there and role models are very good.
Mm-hmm.
Encourage that. But that only when you have a basis.
Right.
It's like you and I, like, we're watched by others in our community, but we had a basis, you know, from the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it was good to have somebody out there that when the parents say, hey, what were you doing there? You know, I'm going to talk to your parents about this.
John and Sean, what are you boys doing over there?
Right.
Do I smell cigarette smoke?
Right.
Now, there we go, running off the ordinance.
Because we knew,
right.
that what would happen back home.
Right.
We had a basis of parents.
Sean, I'll ask your listeners, have a conversation with a public school teacher, whether elementary, middle, or high school, and ask them about how much time they spend correcting behavior in class. Ask them how much time they spend trying to keep the students' attention. Because they've not been corrected at home. They've never been told no at home. They're inattentive because they've never been told, sit down over there and shut up until I come and get you. When mom or dad was stopping the store with an old classmate and they'd end up standing there talking for 30 or 45 minutes and you want so badly to squirm, but mm-hmm. you get the look the first time. The second time, you get a smack.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned to be still. We learned to listen to the adult. Ask any public school teacher what they're going through dealing with these kids that aren't being raised. And then at the end of the year when little Timmy or Bethany can't graduate, the parent shows up in her pajama pants and her her bonnet on and no bra and raising hell with the teacher because little Johnny missed 40 days of school.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do with that? What's the teacher when the kid's not there? What are they supposed to do?
We need to stop placing blame anywhere. It starts at home. That was a campaign we had a couple of years ago. It starts at home. Your children's future is your responsibility. And the same thing we're saying now. Your children are your responsibility. We supplement it, but you have to set the foundation.
Coming right back with Mr. Mobile right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Tonight Mobile is tonight on Monday nights with the host, Mr. Mobile, my buddy John Young. He's also in with us right now and talking about the Men United Against Violence campaign. It's interesting because you would say, well, duh, but obviously, does not work because there's people who don't think, and you were talking about the Facebook comments that shocking that parents should be responsible for their children and what goes on in their home.
That you can raise your kid. Listen, there's Sean Sullivan and John Young. If we were friends back when we were in school, we would have just had one more person to get in trouble with. We knew better. Even my oldest brother, Bro Young, says it all the time. I knew better even when I didn't do better.
Correct. Yeah.
But we knew what right and wrong was. We weren't ever left to our own devices. We knew that the risk versus reward. If we get caught doing this, it's over for us this summer. We're not leaving home again.
Yep.
But I got to go to this party.
Mm-hmm.
We knew these kids now aren't being taught right from wrong. Just look at the social media posts families recording themselves dining and dashing. Look at the social media posts when parents are watching their kids spill icy on the pulling the tab so icy spills onto the floor, or taking their children with them while they're shoplifting. Jerry Ripple sent me a message saying that it doesn't help when these superstars, these modern athletes and entertainers, are reproducing out of wedlock. Remember, Russell Wilson married this woman, Sierra, and Nick Cannon has 12 kids. So they're emulating. It's only perpetuated by black people on black people. That's the thing that burns me up far more, is that now they're trying to standardize broken English in California.
I saw that story. How somebody insulting. Asked me to talk, and I didn't get a chance to yeah, they said, hey, what do you think about it, and what does John think about it? I hadn't gotten a chance. So what does John think about it?
That, how much more insulting can you be to the color of my skin to dumb everything down for me? How
you're not able to, John. You're black. You're not able to.
I can't. And there's some pink, some woman that's getting paid by George Soros or something out on the West Coast saying, I am unable to carry on an articulate conversation with you. I must speak in this strange dialect. And I got to say, you know what I'm saying? No, I lay that thing like a batty bone. Man, I can't, Cuddy can't hang, you know? And you're supposed to say, I dug that brother's rap. My mama didn't raise no idiot. You know, how much more insult am I as a black man who thinks for himself is supposed to take? Because it's two part. There are the black people who are propagating this stuff and promoting it. And then there are the white people who said, I can't wait to use this as an excuse to be speak to JY and Mr. Mobile and an Ibaga. Well, what up, folk? You know, and just yeah, try to like, be right. So that's let those both, two meet.
Let them yeah.
Let them their, get together.
Yes.
And leave us alone. Preach. Leave me alone. Preach. I don't buy into it. You have never heard me use the word ain't unless I was quoting something. You right. Rarely heard me say y'all.
Right.
Dad,
I say y'all all the time though. Yeah. I'm
Every Southerner besides me does. Dad, a long time ago, said. This is when I was going girl crazy, like 14 years mm-hmm. old. He said, well, a girl doesn't want a man that can't speak clearly or do anything for himself.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, so I could get more women by not saying ain't and y'all.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work, but it became a habit. It became a habit.
Yeah.
So I can't, and I'm not bag bragging and boasting. The way I speak to you now is the way I'll speak to you if we're at Bob's house mm-hmm. eating crawfish.
Correct.
I don't have a standardized language. And then now I might say some things that I won't say in public.
Sure.
You know, my brother and I could communicate just off movie quotes.
Yes.
But I don't have a talking white tone from when I'm on duty and a talking black tone from when I'm not. This is what you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the same guy.
And I am so sick and tired of every 20 years, some Unkangawa black power spokesperson for every black person decides that, how can I embarrass black folks today? Well, how about saying dis, dim, day, and doze? And those should be taught as black English. Nothing good about this black culture that they promote. We have children outside of the wedlock. We carry guns. We don't show up on time. Math is racist. They can't articulate and speak the king's language. And any plethora of other stereotypes that we promote ourselves. But then when a white person says to you, what up, folk? Why are you talking to me like that? What's wrong with you? That's racist. And now we got Ben Crump and someone else marching down the street saying, we shall overcome someday. I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with people embarrassing me. The failures that, JY, you might identify with this, the greatest failures I've had in my life were because of myself.
Oh, yeah.
There was no clandestine, devious, diabolical white guy.
No, yeah, we reverse engineer it and go, oh, right. Yeah, that's where I, right. Yeah.
I'm going to mess up his credit by making him get credit cards that he doesn't pay for. You know, all this stems from slavery. We'll get our get back on you yet, black man. No, come on, guys. How do we even get to this point that in 2026, we talked about it off air, I don't have a single friend whose child doesn't have a good friend who is a different race.
This is because we have text about this to hear from you.
Go ahead.
The Nolan Wells case. Yeah. So let's talk about that.
Go
because,
ahead.
Well, as you say, how does John feel about the Nolan Wells issue? Having Al Sharpton doing his eulogy and making it into a racist event.
Al Sharpton didn't know that kid. How can you eulogize someone you don't know unless you're going up and say, NAACP, racism and slavery, and that's what drowned him? Listen.
So, okay, so we'll talk, we've got a minute or so here for the break, but we'll continue this. So our conversation during the news break, you and I, this idea, and you see it at Facebook, the pit of inequity that is Facebook, that the idea that there was white kids and black kids that were friends must have been some part of some great plan to kill Nolan or... It's 2026.
How did we... The confusion on your face says it all.
They had a black friend? They had a white friend?
Right.
Welcome to 2026.
Dude, if they were going to wait till 2026, they could have killed J.Y. in 1990s. Because we were hanging out with everyone.
Yeah, you get along with, you just different personalities get along
whoever's
with.
Whoever's parents wasn't home, that's the house we're going to.
Yes.
And suddenly, can you imagine how his friends feel that they're being accused of killing their buddy that they played football with?
Because he was black and they were white.
Do you know how heartbreaking it is to the parents of those kids when they would pick up Nolan and he'd come over to the house and eat pizza? Come on, guys. We got to get past this crap.
We're coming right back. More from y'all.
And don't trust the black man with a perm either.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Of course, you check out Tonight Mobile with Mr. Mobile, John Young, every Monday night. Read some text here, John. David said, when kids grow up with misbehaving parents, like the travel ball parents that got into a brawl at travel ball tournament in Laurel, Mississippi over the weekend. I did not see that. The kids will be miscreants. From our buddy Josh said, my dad and I say this isn't an education problem. This is a character issue. We've stopped teaching character and integrity in the home. We started making life easy for kids, and you can't develop character when you make life easy. You develop character when life is difficult. Character is developed in struggle. The, quote, everybody gets a trophy, end quote, mentality is not helping.
Agreed. Listen, thank you for your messages. But, Sean, the blueprint has already been made on this topic. Family, education, employment, and discipline.
FEED is the acronym.
It has already been laid. We're not creating anything new. We're saying let's go back to what worked.
Mm-hmm.
I am sick and tired, again, of the black misleadership class reminding everyone about slavery. The 1950s saw an improvement, an increase. The Industrial Revolution created middle class. Scott Paper came here, hired my dad in 62, and created a black middle class in Mobile. This is during segregation and Jim Crow, and black families were intact. Black unemployment was low. Black mass incarceration was low. Graduation rates were high. Decency, integrity, honor were high. In the face of pay the same fare and sit in the back of the bus.
Right. In the face of, you talk about, real racism.
Real bigotry. Tangible, in your face, colored drinking fountain racism, black people thrived. And now you're saying in 2026 that white people are so devious that their racism, you can't see it. It's not tangible. You can't describe it, but it's everywhere. It's like air. Or Lizzo and a Pinto.
It's just always.
You can't see it. How? Why? How did white people become so devious, Sean Sullivan? Tell me your secret.
All right. Well, at our last meeting, at the white people. To my friend John, you weren't invited. The last white people meeting I was at, they said, "Well, here's our 2026 objective plan for white people. Everybody pass out the papers. Here's what we're doing. Here's here's the points of our."
We got this thing in Ocean Springs we're working on,
too. Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to have these kids that are white and black be friends for a decade. But it's a long-term plan to kill this kid because he's black. It's just the long game. We had a whole meeting on the long game at the white meeting.
Right, then we're going to have teen takeovers.
Yes.
We're going to have 30 kids in Metro Jail in Mobile, 5 for murder. We're going to have black women 4 times more likely to be victims of domestic violence. It's all in the pamphlet. It's all in the
we had that.
But let's go on and watch Driving Miss Daisy so we can all be reminded of why we're here. And pass around the tea and crumpets. Get out of here. Come on now. I'm not making these people make fools of us. It's embarrassing.
Sims Guy says, I feel as if social media plays a big part in youth and young ignorance out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the whole electronic thing anyway, you've been in the grocery store where you probably grow most of your food by now. But
and not all of it. I still got to go.
Right, they have two kids in the grocery basket holding electric iPads or phones. These kids don't have any social skills. They are doing the TikTok challenge videos. That's where and this is where China has really done us dirty. We were just looked up something. They're listening to us through our devices. Mm-hmm. We just had proof while we were off air.
Yes.
And so now they've made our kids addicted to electronic devices. And now they don't know how to socialize. They don't know how to greet. They don't know serve, ma'am. And then you multiply that by the degeneracy that's being taught on TikTok, the broken families. Look how the women dress now. They don't have any decency or shame. Men aren't growing up. Women don't have any sophistication about themselves. They're reproducing a lot faster than intelligent people are, and this is the outcome. We're reaping what we sow.
Although, save for levity here, Fire Dog, who's close to our, he and I are the same age, so we're just a little younger than you. Traditional haircuts bring back the 80s. Teased hair, eyeliner, lipstick, and leopard skin pants. And that's what the guys were wearing.
We gave guys a lot of breaks in the 80s for wearing fruity stuff, you know.
If they could rock, yes.
Yeah, as long as they had to rock. Right.
Maximus says, I think we're about a quarter mile away from Idiocracy. I keep saying that movie that was like, this funny movie ends up seeming like a documentary.
It is a documentary, right down to the rubber shoes people are wearing.
Okay, this texture here, I guess, can speak, says, excuse me, ma'am, I speak jive. Which was such a funny line.
Dude, that movie's incredible.
It holds up.
Oh, yes.
It holds up. It's
and I don't dig the whole talking black, you know, black music. There isn't a party in Mobile that if you played Motown, everyone isn't getting up dancing. I don't care if it's a country western bar, a punk rock bar. I don't care what it is. Everyone loves Motown.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, again, we have to get past these labels that we – is it good music? I made the comment about a black man with a perm. We both like James Brown.
Yes. Nope. People who listen to the show hear the punk music. No, I'm a big fan of James Brown.
He is one of the greatest entertainers ever.
Mm-hmm.
But he wore a perm.
Yes. James had some mistakes.
Right.
Okay, James didn't always make the best choices, but dang it.
Yeah, he could sing.
He could sing, and he made sure the band was the best dang band. If you didn't do what James wanted, you were out.
He was a tyrant.
Yes.
Someone else texting? I know you get way more activity than I do at night. I guess everyone's asleep by the time I come on air.
Yeah. Once again, I mean, most people say great conversation with Mr. Mobile. Still the best. This is cool. Guys, I saw Jeffy Checkers on Dolphin Island, flew in a helicopter. It was wonderful. Is that how he came in? That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Marty said, I learned a lot more about life at the hunting camp and in the bass boat with my dad than anything I learned in college. Let's see. Oh, C.B. Carl said, I saw a picture of the sadly drowned young man, and his mother was wearing a Lizzo shirt. I guess that's horrible.
Well, it is. We need to grow up. I think now that people see when an incident occurs, the first thing that comes to mind is a GoFundMe and how much can I get. Tyler Perry and Alan Kaepernick are paying contributing to the funeral expenses. But did they do that for the one-year-old boy that died in Senatobia? Did they do it for the two black women and the two-year-old black boy shot and killed in Jackson, Mississippi, the same week? Are they coming to Mobile and looking to the eyes of these grieving mothers?
We talk about it right here. How about our kids that have been killed?
Right. Are you coming and contributing to them? Are you paying for their funeral expenses? Kaylee, did they come here when she was shot?
The list goes
on. So, and that's what infuriates me, because we don't care about the black life until it has some suspicious. And now they're so desperate, they will make it suspicious. They're so desperate to keep the machine going.
And I have held back a little bit on this story because you've been doing this long enough that I just wait for forensics to come back and all that, you know, the cause of death. But immediately, people just pop off,
mm-hmm.
And to see the ignorance, and social media puts ignorance on full display, pulls right. the curtain back, that it must be something because Dolan was black and these other kids were white. So therefore, immediately, the first right. decision is they must have played a hand in his death.
And their football coach said, there's no racial tension on my team.
They were friends.
They were friends, as incredible as that might be to seem to some people.
Imagine that. Y'all think about that. I mean, right. you brought it up at the beginning. Here in 2026, do you have, who has people that have children that have no friends that are black or no black kids that have friends that are white? What percentage is that?
Very small. Very small. Our son, Trey, Gabe, he was good friends with Gabe, who happens to be one of my work buddies' sons, and would spend the night, go pick them up. We would right. watch football together all the time, and to this day, Gabe still calls me Big John. No fear, no apprehension that no other the kids with babies would come climb up in my lap, and because I was tall to them,
yeah.
I guess.
Well, you're tall to me, and I'm a grown man.
You know, and there was never any idea that they were going to put something in my drink and make me fall down the stairs, and, oh, he got drunk and bust his head. We got to get past that. We have to get past to and just get back to logical, rational thinking. Let's not forget that there are white people that died during the Civil Rights Movement. Mm-hmm. Louisa, she drove down from Detroit to drive people between Selma and Montgomery. Andrew, Rabbi Rob, he came down from Boston, was killed in Selma. Let's not forget that the struggle was not singular. There were many people that could lose their lives to help in that struggle also. So stop letting people tell us.
And those were exceptional people then.
Mm-hmm.
And what their sacrifice did is move us, at least partially, here where we are in 2026, where the idea, and I would spend all the time on this kid, but that this was because they had a different amount of melanin in their skin, from Nolan to his buddies, that it had to be something nefarious.
Right. That's insane. We are engrafted in. The Hebrew Israelites came out of slavery in Egypt. And are engrafted in to the life through the blood of Christ, as we are engrafted in through the Constitution.
Yes.
Yes, maybe many of you started, your great-great-great-great-grandsisters were slaves, but many were not. But any way it goes, we are now engrafted into these rights, and to continue trying to make a divide and make everything about the color of skin, what about the content of your character? If you're going to criticize Nolan's friends, then you criticize these black men that are having babies and not taking care of them. The black men that are these black brute beasts that are shooting into homes and hurting children, that are abandoning women. You criticize them equally, because I guarantee you they have a greater detriment. These hip-hop rap stars have a greater detriment to our black boys than that issue in Ocean Springs. I guarantee you that the 30 people in Metro Jail, 19 years or younger, and some in for violent crime and murder, I'll bet you dollars to donuts, 90% of them are black boys.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you they're black boys.
And y'all, once again, think about it. These are under 19.
Right.
Under 19. That are not like you said, it's not minor in possession, or they went mud riding on, you know, Mr. Young's farm or something like that. 19 for violent crimes, 5 of them for murder, under 19 years old.
And that's what we're competing with when we say your children are your responsibility. That's for everyone. Our message is universal. It applies to everyone. But
yes, it doesn't matter. Like, even at the white meeting, John, at the white meeting, we didn't say no, it doesn't apply. So it applies also to white, black, whatever, Asian folks, whatever. It's your responsibility.
Right. And that's all we're saying. And maybe we wouldn't have 5 black boys in Metro Jail for murder. Maybe we wouldn't have 80% of black children born outside of marriage, or 400 million black kids dying by abortion every year. Maybe we could change some of these things, black kids dropping out of school. Maybe we could break down that wall of everything's racist. No, you can't read, write, and count. Why would I hire you? You can't articulate your words. And now you have these, can I say jackasses
in California?
Yeah, in California, trying to tell you can't speak standardized English. How insulting is that? I wasn't very good at basketball because I was uncoordinated and slow. But I never asked them, will you move the free throw line closer for me? I probably still would have shot 50%. But I didn't. Why do we feel like now, to make up for things that you didn't do to me and your ancestors did a long time ago, that we have to make the test different? give me an advantage.
But it doesn't. But it doesn't give you advantage long term. It does in that, and we'll go to the break here. But it does in the test day there. But what's the payoff long term? It's a loss for that kid.
Victim Street.
There it is. Coming right back. More with J-Watch.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile and time for a checkup. And joining us from Southern Cancer Center, Carla Childers, Director of Research. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, Director of Research for Southern Cancer Center, it's pretty heavy lift there. You got a lot to research. What are y'all, cancer, what are you looking at? How do you direct research at Southern Cancer Center?
Well, I manage the day-to-day operations of our department. I work with Dr. Meshad on what clinical trials that we're going to open and start. Then we educate our team on the clinical trials and how to enroll.
Clinical trials. Let me back up for a second. So a clinical trial is what? What is that for all, whether it's Southern Cancer Center or somewhere else? What's a clinical trial?
Well, it's a research study, and it evaluates safety, effectiveness, and side effects of new drugs, procedures, or
devices. I've heard about this. So a report will come out. In clinical trials, XYZ happened or something like that. So that's these.
Yes.
So why do y'all do them? Why do they exist? Why are they? And I guess if they exist, they are important. So why?
Oh, they are. Without clinical trials, we would never have improved treatments. Everything would stay the same. And through clinical trials, they're able to determine if the treatment is safe or not. Mm-hmm. It lets us know if what we're doing already is the best thing or not. I mean, it shows there's room for growth and this drug works better than the standard of care does.
This is where we get our new leaps. This is where we get our new leaps.
Yes, that's where the new drugs come in and the new regimens. That's how I remember way back when. I know everybody has seen Pembro on the advertisements on television. We did a study years ago where it wasn't standard of care, and we were given Pembro on our lung patients, and today it's standard of care. Every lung patient almost gets Pembro.
So this was a clinical trial that's now the standard.
Right.
And talk about this too, what it means to patients and families that you deal with. I mean,
Well, for a patient newly diagnosed with cancer, of course, that's a horrible thing to have to go through and to face, but to know that there's opportunities to get the next best treatment, they have the opportunity for what could be the next regimen as standard of care.
Mm-hmm. And so, they'd be the first ones to get it.
So they could benefit immediately, where later down the road, people are not going to be able to benefit for years, maybe.
So how do you select patients to do these clinical trials?
Well, we screen a lot of patients, new patients that come in. We look at them, patients that are coming in to see the doctors. We review their charts and see if they might meet criteria for one of our studies. If we think they do, then we go to the provider and go, this patient looks really good for study A, B, and C. What do you think? And if they go, yeah, they would be great, they'll talk to the patient about it. If they're interested, the doctors will get with us and we'll go in and educate the patient more on the clinical trial and the requirements. And then if they're interested, then we sign consent and start the screening process.
Okay, so you're going to come to them, you're going to see and ask them, hey, would you like to? And
right.
Then it's up to the patient whether they want to.
Oh, absolutely.
Take that route.
Yeah.
What is like the progress on this, the day to day, if you're in a clinical trial, are you stuck at in a room? How does this work?
I mean, it's really no different than any other patient, other than we've got to do protocol specific testing or vitals and things like that.
But they're still coming and going.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not like you picture people all like in a, they stay there, they don't leave.
No, not at all.
Okay.
They come in and see the doctor like they would even if they weren't on a study.
Okay.
But because they are on a study, they may have specific labs that they do for us that they wouldn't do for the doctor normally. We might need to do an EKG, which they wouldn't be doing that on a day-to-day basis when they came in. If they're getting an IV treatment or anything like that, there might be specific vital signs that we're monitoring or specific lab work that we do before and after the infusions that's required by the study. But the patient comes, does the treatment, and then they go home. The best part of that is they get their very own CRC, clinical research coordinator, as their one person that they have with them every time they walk through our doors. Our CRC is with them. We see the doctor with them. We evaluate them before the doctor even sees them. And we communicate all that information with the doctor.
So they got their like their own personal person, ombudsman to guide them through this.
Exactly.
Carla, let's talk about some misconceptions here on this before we wrap up. Clinical trials, are they safe? I mean, that people are going to ask, that's going to be the first question.
Right. They are safe. They are safe. There are guidelines in place now to ensure safety. Everything is done ethically. Patients are well informed.
Yeah, because, I mean, people say, well, it's this is only happening as a method of last resort.
That is not true. The majority of our studies at Southern Cancer Center are first line okay. metastatic. We have some first line breast. There are studies out there that are after they've tried all treatments available to them, then they can try this, but they're few and far between. We don't have any of those on our standard list.
So you say first line, that means
first time they're ever treated for that diagnosis.
Oh, okay. So it's not on down and on down the road.
They can be. We have some that are second and third line, but the majority of ours are first line or second line.
People worry that I'll go in there and you're going to be, for the research purposes, you're giving me a sugar pill. You're giving me a placebo.
That is not true. Now, there are some studies where a patient may get a placebo, but they know about it. So, like, it can have two arms. They're going to get standard of care plus Pembro. Okay. Or they can get standard of care with nothing. They're just going to get what they would normally get even without the study. But they'll give them a bag of saline because nobody knows if they're getting Pembro or not.
Right.
So they have to give them that. But the patient is very aware that that's a potential before they agree to the study.
And people will say these trials, you know, are only going to help people down the road, not people today. But you kind of answered that question, that people, you know, right away are getting help from this. It's not just for 10 years down the road or 20 years down the road.
Right. Yes, we have patients that are getting benefit from clinical trials right now. You know, but the goal of research is to get them all FDA approved, you know, the better treatments FDA approved for later down the road. But if they're getting the treatment
they're
now and they're benefiting, you know,
and you kind of said
a great opportunity.
Because they could get it now. Somebody else, there's going to be a period of time but with approval that nobody else is getting it.
Right.
It could be months or years,
yes.
But that person got it now.
Correct.
It's exciting. I appreciate you stopping by, talking with us about this.
Well, thank you for having me.
Carla Childers, she's with Southern Cancer Center, the Director of Research, right here for Time for a Checkup on FM Talk 106.5.